Welcome back, everyone, to the J. Mamie Talk Show. Our final spotlight for this afternoon is going to be someone that I believe will inspire you, for those of you that are looking for things that can make your not only your life better, but if you're a business person or if you're an executive, if you're looking for ways to enhance your business, but do it in a way that's not only strategic, but with a degree of calculated risk, then you want to hear the story of our final spotlight today. Texas Security Bank's founder, Craig Scheif, is in our studio today. And there's a reason why I wanted him here, because his story is compelling for those who are interested in the possibilities of doing more and doing better, but are concerned about the risk and what it entails. And his story will help you know and understand what it takes in order to make a calculated risk and to do something much, much greater than your current situation. So, Craig, welcome to the show, brother. Glad to have you.
Jay, thanks for having me.
Craig, before we get started, can you share a little bit about your story with our audience?
Sure. So I grew up, for the most part, in Plano, Texas. Prior to that, my family had lived all over the United States. My father was a civil engineer, and we moved to Plano in 74, which was summer after my fifth grade. Plano was just exploding year after year. It was one of the fastest growing cities in the U.S., and So graduated from Plano High School back when they only had one school, and played football at Plano and then played in college. Mm. So I went to college at a small regional state university in Oklahoma called East Central University. It's in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And got my business degree there in marketing, and had a wonderful time. It was a great experience. Then immediately went in to my master's program at the University of North Texas. And after that, I knew I wanted to get into some type of technical sales. And so after doing some research on banking and commercial banking in particular, decided to get my master's in finance. And so then in 1988, I joined First Interstate Bank, which was the predecessor to Wells Fargo Bank. Mm-hmm. And went through their training program and spent about 15 years with the First Interstate Wells Fargo organization, and managed a team of bankers. And then in 2003, I had an opportunity to go to work for Bank of Texas, and Bank of Oklahoma owns Bank of Texas. And they'd come down to Texas and bought a number of independent banks and community banks, and they asked me to run one of them. And that's where I got exposed to owner-managed businesses. Mm-hmm. Because the bank that they asked me to run had previously been a smaller bank, so they did smaller loans given their capital size. And these were owner-managed businesses, true entrepreneurs, and really saw that I could add value to these organizations. And that's where I came up with the idea for Texas Security Bank.
Excellent. So what inspired you to launch, really to go on your own? You were cushy. Things were going well for you, right? Mm-hmm. And you decided, okay, I'm learning enough, but it's time for me to sort of spread my wings and do something that I could be the owner manager of. Mm-hmm. Was that the inspiration that motivated you to start?
Yeah. So number one, we all like adding value. You got mm-hmm. a job and you feel like you're doing good things. You're helping people. It kind of gives you purpose. But then just also the appreciation for what owner managed businesses contribute to this country. They pay the majority of the federal income tax and the majority of property taxes, payroll taxes. But they also, especially newer businesses, true entrepreneurs, are responsible for creating the lion's share mm-hmm. of the vast majority of jobs in this country. So as Winston Churchill once said, free enterprise is the strong horse that pulls the whole cart. And the inspiration really came from just hearing story after story of these business owners on how they got started, the sacrifice that was involved, the risk that they took, mm-hmm. Going years without vacation, being the last to get paid, sweating payroll. And then you look at them today, and a lot of them are doing pretty good. A lot of them failed, but a lot of them are doing pretty good. And so now they have a standard of living that people look at and are somewhat enviable about. And it was at a juncture kind of in our country where The top one percenters were being demonized with zero appreciation for what they contributed. And so that's where, you know, the idea for the bank came in terms of, you know, our mission statement, our reason for getting out of bed every morning is to elevate the champions of free enterprise. Mm. Because the free enterprise system is responsible for bringing more people out of poverty.
That's right.
Than any other economic system devised by man. And so if anybody has a desire to abate poverty, which we all do, a good starting point is creating an environment where free enterprise can thrive.
I'm a big free enterprise guy, Craig. I really am. I've been since 13 years old.
Good. Good for you.
Since 13 years old. So what are the common challenges? Let's talk a little bit about the business community, the business climate post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. Let's say recovering from a pandemic, right? Because I wouldn't say we're post just yet. But what are some of the common challenges that you're finding as you are out working in the business community that they're facing?
Well, thank goodness for Paycheck Protection. It wasn't perfect, but in terms of getting the money or the majority of the money to the people that need it, it was pretty good. And we played in the Paycheck Protection program in a very, very substantial way. For the size of our bank, I honestly don't think there's any bank in the country that did as much as a percentage of capital than we did, because that it was our mission statement, right? Mm-hmm. To elevate the champions of free enterprise. So one of the things that we did was we saw the shutdown coming. Obviously, we got out ahead of the Paycheck Protection Program. We were very proactive on loan payment deferrals because the uncertainty, things we look back now and say, you know, we got through it. It wasn't that bad. It was bad, but we didn't know how bad it was going to be. And so we were proactive on getting payment deferrals to the people in the industries we really thought were at risk. So the challenge I would say is there's a fair amount of liquidity out there in the market now.
Okay.
Even though companies are maybe struggling from an operating standpoint, a lot of them are sitting on cash. And so one of the things that we did as part of the payment deferral program and people who are who have Paycheck Protection is to get them on a 13-week cash flow forecast so they can see 90 days ahead and where they get from week to week get better and better and better at forecasting collections and forecasting disbursement so they can know how long is that liquidity that we have going to last. So getting visibility and a line of sight into, you know, hey, we're going to make it. So that's a challenge. And then obviously we're all still trying to figure out what the new remote work environment is going to look like.
That's right.
We've all learned some things, myself included, about, and by the way, the Paycheck Protection Program, you know, we did that with 80%+ of our people working remotely. So getting them stood up at home and having connectivity and capabilities was a big part of it. But now that we have it, people are like, well, you know, this is a pretty good deal. Now there's some culture things that you got to work through because there's not as much water cooler talk and stuff that really kind of is part of building a culture. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have probably, we got 70 employees and, you know, I'd say that 3/4 of them have more than a 30-minute commute. And so when you add that up over the course of a month, that's a lot of hours that can be shared in terms of their work-life balance with additional productivity for us. So we're all just trying to figure out what that's going to look like long term.
There are a number of banks, commercial banks, that also offer lending to small businesses. But in your experience, how are your programs different from some of the other commercial banks?
Right. So as part of elevating the champions of free enterprise, what we saw, what I saw from my experience at Bank of Texas was that business owners, the majority of business owners, I'd say 80% of people who start businesses, if they have a college degree, it's not in one of the business disciplines.
Wow.
Maybe an attorney, a dentist, a psychologist, whatever. And so they're starved for information. So what we have done since the beginning, it has always been very continuing education based. So entrepreneurs and business owners Number one, we have a curriculum we go through biweekly with our bankers on actually how to run a business. So when they sit down with a business owner, they can have a rich conversation, solution-oriented conversation about how do we get from our current state to our desired future state. We have a speaker series that's a la carte training monthly, mm-hmm. and it's topics where we bring in subject matter experts on everything germane to running an enterprise mm-hmm. to provide training. And in last year, I probably put over 1,000 business owners and their key wow. players through it.
Wow.
And then we have an academy, which and we have an executive director of education. So we have an academy that's a one-year program, 50 hours of classroom time over the course of a year. It's 3 hours every other week, and we start all the way at the beginning, accounting one and two, to how to fund a business, to marketing, branding, management, all the way to the inevitable, which is either we're going to prepare this business to sell or we're going to put together a succession plan. So education, by far, is our differentiator in terms of our brand.
In our last minute here, people love testimonies, right? They relate to testimonies or stories of others. Can you share a recent testimony of a business or a client that Texas Security Bank has helped in a very significant way?
Yeah, there's been, we did 950 paycheck protection loans, and we were able to turn around those loan requests in 48 hours and fund those loans. And so there's literally hundreds and hundreds of unsolicited testimonies that came from those people.
Wow.
But a lot of them, it's just putting them, introducing them to certain disciplines that help them understand their business better. So when rough times come, they come up with solutions that are more effective.
Craig, where can people go to learn more about Texas Security Bank?
You go to texassecuritybank.com. Look at that website. It's chock full of content on every topic possible.
Craig, we appreciate you being on the show today, my friend. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
All right. Thank you so much, Jay.
Folks, we're going to be coming back next Sunday for another hour of Thrive Time. Today's Spotlight Sunday has been fantastic. We'll see you next Sunday.